Hello, and welcome back to the PiTech Solutions Future of Finance podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Mike. Good to be here, Alex.
It is January 27th, 2026. Mike, do you remember where you were 3 years ago, back in the old days of 2023?
The old days? You mean the days when we were all losing our minds over ChatGPT writing haikus?
Exactly. The era of passive generative AI. It feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? We spent so much time asking chatbots to summarize emails or draft marketing copy. It was novel, it was fun, but looking back, it was incredibly passive.
It was a spectator sport. You typed a prompt, you waited, you got text. But today is different. We aren't in the Gen AI era anymore. We have firmly landed in the era of agentic AI.
Agentic AI. That is the buzzword on every C-suite agenda this quarter, and for good reason. But I want to peel back the layers today. We aren't just going to talk about the shiny new agents. We need to talk about the plumbing. We need to talk about the unsexy, critical infrastructure that makes these agents actually work.
Yeah, because if you don't have the plumbing right, those shiny agents are just dangerous toys.
Precisely. The topic for today is the critical necessity of data excellence. And before you tune out because I said the word data, realize that for regional banks right now, this is literally a survival strategy.
It's the difference between staying independent or getting acquired by a tier one giant. Let's set the scene a bit. We're looking at regional banks with assets between 20 and 100 billion. The hollow core crisis is still very real here in 2026. Efficiency ratios are stuck in the high 50s or low 60s. Margins are compressed.
And the tier one banks, the Chases, the Bank of Americas, they deployed agentic capabilities late last year. They are already running laps around the regionals in terms of automated personalized service. And then, of course, there's the regulatory pressure cooker.
Section 1033, the CFPB's open banking rule.
Right. It was finalized back in October 2024. The big banks, those over $10 billion in assets, are facing a compliance deadline of April 1st of this year, 2026. That is just a couple of months away. Regional banks have a little more runway, depending on their exact asset class, but the market expectation is already set. Customers expect their data to be portable, instant, and accurate.
So you have this perfect storm. You have the pressure to be efficient, the pressure to comply with open banking, and the pressure to compete with the giants who are using AI to steal your customers. And the answer everyone is reaching for is agentic AI.
But here is the thesis we are exploring today. An agent is only as smart as the data it swims in. Mike, break down the difference for us. Why is agentic so much riskier than the old chatbots if the data is bad?
Okay, so think of it this way. In 2024, if you had bad data and you asked a chatbot to write an email, maybe it got a name wrong. You proofread it, you fixed it, you sent it. The human was the safety valve. The AI was just a drafter.
Right. Passive.
Agentic AI is active. It perceives, it reasons, it plans, and this is the kicker. It executes, it does work. So the command isn't write an email about an overdraft. The command is monitor this customer's cash flow. If they are at risk, move funds from savings to checking to cover it, and then notify them.
That is a massive leap in trust. You are giving the AI the keys to the ledger.
Exactly. And if that agent is swimming in a data swamp, which, let's be honest, is what most regional banks have, you are inviting disaster. A swamp is disconnected silos. You've got PDFs over here, 50 different SQL databases over there, duplicate customer records from a merger 3 years ago.
So if the agent looks at that swamp, it doesn't just give a wrong answer. It takes a wrong action. It moves money it shouldn't. It denies a loan it should approve. We call this agentic hallucination at scale.
And that is terrifying. Imagine an autonomous system rejecting a credit line for a VIP business client because it couldn't connect the dot that the business owner has $5 million in a personal wealth account sitting in a different silo. The agent sees low commercial cash flow and executes a denial. The human banker never even sees it until the client calls up screaming.
And the client leaves. That's the stakes. This brings us to the rabbit hole regarding the semantic layer. This is something PiTech has been preaching for a while. We need to talk about the difference between a database and a knowledge graph.
Oh, I love this topic. It sounds technical, but it's actually deeply human. A SQL database, think of an Excel sheet, sees rows and columns. It sees John Smith in row 400 and J. Smith LLC in row 800. To the database, those are strangers. They are just text strings.
But a human banker knows, hey, that's John. He owns the LLC. The human understands the relationship.
Right. A knowledge graph, or a semantic layer, creates a map of those relationships. It's the brain. It links those two entities so that when the agent queries the data, it knows that John and the LLC are effectively the same financial entity. It allows the AI to reason like a human.
I was looking at some of PyTech's internal data on this. Implementing a semantic knowledge graph, the numbers are staggering. We are seeing early indications that it can reduce false positive fraud alerts by something like 68% in these high-integrity setups.
That is huge. Think about the operational savings. 68% fewer alerts means your human fraud team isn't chasing ghosts. They are focusing on actual crime. But more importantly, you aren't freezing the card of your best customer while they are on vacation in Italy just because the AI didn't have the context that they bought a plane ticket on a different card.
Context is king. Let's ground this in a real-world scenario. I want to talk about United Community Bank. They are a powerhouse in the Sun Belt, most trusted bank winner, headquartered in Greenville.
Great bank. They have been very active in M&A.
Right. So let's look back a bit. In September 2024, they announced the acquisition of United Fidelity Bank shares, the parent of American National Bank, or ANB. That was a roughly $337 million deal. Now, here we are in 2026. The dust has settled on the deal, but the data integration, that's usually the nightmare.
Acquisitions create data Frankensteins. You have United's core system and you have ANB's legacy system. The traditional playbook says, let's just migrate the data, lift and shift. You take the data from ANB and jam it into United's database.
But PyTech suggests a different approach, right? Use the M&A event as a forcing function.
Exactly. Don't just migrate, transform. Use that moment when you have the budget and the mandate to touch the data anyway to build that data fabric, build the knowledge graph. If United wants to get their efficiency ratio down into the low 50s, they can't do it by just hiring more people to reconcile Excel sheets between the two systems.
They need digital interns. They need agents handling the grunt work.
Right. But a digital intern operating on two separate unmerged systems is useless. It can't see the full picture. So the strategy for banks like United, and really any regional bank growing by acquisition, is to stop viewing data integration as an IT ticket. It's a strategic architecture project. You are building the nervous system for your future AI workforce.
I like that metaphor, the nervous system. Let's get a little technical for a minute, Mike, because the other pushback we hear from regional bank CEOs is privacy. They are terrified of sending their customer transaction data to the public cloud. They don't want to send loan applications to OpenAI or Google to process.
And they shouldn't. That's a privacy nightmare. And frankly, with the latency, it's too slow. If you are doing real-time fraud detection, you have maybe 100 milliseconds before the transaction clears. A round trip to a cloud API takes 2 seconds. You're already too late.
So what's the alternative? We hear a lot about SLMs, small language models.
This is the privacy sovereign approach. Instead of a massive 1 trillion parameter model in the cloud, you run a compact 7 billion parameter model right inside the bank's own firewall. It lives in your data center.
So the data never leaves the vault.
Never. And the beauty of an SLM is that you can fine-tune it. PyTech specializes in this. You take an open-source model and you train it specifically on your bank's credit policies, your risk appetite, your compliance manuals. So it doesn't think like a generic internet bot. It thinks like your best underwriter.
It's bespoke intelligence, and it's fast.
Lightning fast. And because it's local, it fits perfectly with that event-driven architecture we touched on. We are moving from reading the newspaper, which is batch processing, finding out about fraud the next day, to touching a hot stove. The moment the data happens, the SLM reacts.
But speed brings risk. I have to bring up the elephant in the room, the Claude Code incident. Everyone in the industry remembers August 2025, that scare where agentic AI was used to autonomously probe banking APIs.
Yeah, that changed the conversation overnight. It showed us that autonomous agents can be a weapon, and it made boards very nervous about letting their own agents run wild. What if your agent goes rogue?
What if it hallucinates and approves 1,000 bad loans in 1 minute because of a data error?
So how do we govern that? You can't have a human approve every single action. That defeats the purpose of automation.
The answer is agents watching agents. It sounds sci-fi, but it's actually standard adversarial governance. You build a structure where you have Agent A, the doer. Its job is to process loans. But then you have Agent B, the auditor. The auditor has no goal other than compliance.
So Agent A says, I want to approve this loan. And Agent B says...
Agent B says, hold on. I am checking your work against fair lending laws. You rejected this applicant, but their profile matches an approved applicant from a different demographic. Action blocked. Escalating to human.
That is the human-in-the-loop safety valve.
Exactly. But notice, the human is only involved when the agents disagree. 99% of the time, the auditor approves the doer's action, and it happens instantly. But that adversarial layer provides the audit trail and the safety net that lets a CEO sleep at night.
It's essentially an automated internal affairs department. I love that. It takes the concept of governance from a dusty binder on a shelf and turns it into active code.
And for regional banks, this is the only way to scale. You cannot hire enough compliance officers to review every real-time transaction in an open banking world. You have to fight AI with AI.
We're coming up on time, but I want to address the do-nothing risk. We've painted a picture of a complex transformation. Data fabrics, knowledge graphs, SLMs. A lot of executives might be thinking, this sounds expensive. Maybe we just wait and see.
In 2026, wait and see is a death sentence. Here is the scenario that keeps me up at night for regional banks. The Apple Wallet threat.
Walk us through that.
Okay, so your customer has an AI agent on their phone. Let's say it's part of their Apple Wallet or Google Pay. That consumer agent's job is to maximize the customer's yield. If your regional bank's API is slow or your data is messy so you can't offer a real-time competitive rate, the consumer agent is going to see that.
And it's going to move the money.
Instantly. It will move the customer's deposit from your bank to Chase or Wells Fargo because their agentic API negotiated a better rate in milliseconds. You won't even know why you lost the deposit. You'll just see the outflow. If you are a dumb pipe in an agentic world, you get bypassed.
That is a chilling thought. We are moving from competing for attention to competing for algorithmic preference. If your data isn't excellent, the algorithms will ignore you.
Metadata is not an IT ticket anymore, Alex. It is a survival strategy.
So where does PyTech fit into this final puzzle?
We bridge the gap. Look, most banks know the strategy. They know they need AI. But they get stuck on the execution, the wires, the code, the cleaning of the data. PyTech doesn't sell AI magic. We sell the data excellence architecture. We build the knowledge graphs, we fine-tune the SLMs, and we set up that adversarial governance.
We make the AI safe. And we make it boring, in the best possible way.
Boring is profitable. Boring is reliable. When you have that high-integrity data, you can unleash the agents and actually get that efficiency ratio down without risking the bank's reputation.
To our listeners, the regional bank leaders navigating this shift, the message is clear. Don't build Formula One cars and fuel them with Sledge. Fix the data. Build the nervous system. The agents are ready to work, but they need you to give them the right environment.
Well said. The era of passive AI is over. It's time to get active.
Mike, always a pleasure diving into the deep end with you.
Same here, Alex. Until next time.
This has been the PyTech Solutions Podcast. Check the show notes for a link to our white paper on data excellence for agentic AI. Thanks for listening.